Had it not been for Calvary, had it not been for Christ, what hope would we have today? You ever really thought about that? What hope would your life have? At best, you might find pleasure in this world for a short season, as Paul stated. But then there'd be an eternity without Christ, without God. That in itself would be a tragedy, but then to think that we would spend that eternity without God in a place of torment forever and ever. I'm thankful for Christ. I'm thankful for the cross and all that He did on Calvary. Turn in your Bible, if you would, with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. We're going to begin to look at a portion of this chapter this morning. And I will go ahead and state before I even dive into it, it's a very difficult chapter. One that is at face value hard to understand. But I am grateful that God gives us the Scriptures to help us better understand other portions of the Bible. And we'll look at that momentarily. So turn now to Revelation chapter 13, and we'll begin our reading there in verse 1, remembering that John is on the Isle of Patmos. About 2,000, a little over 2,000 years ago, he got this vision, these words, the things that he's seeing from God. He's writing about things that are going to happen in our future, things that happened in his day, some things that already passed, but also things that are going to happen in our future. And this is what he sees in the visions and in the words that God gives him in chapter 13, verse 1 of the book of the Revelation. He said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, if we've been looking at the book of Revelation, we've mentioned three series of judgments that God is going to pour upon this world after the rapture of His church. There will be what we call the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and then the seven vial judgments that God will execute upon this world to redeem that which is His and which was lost due to sin. Now, in chapter 12 last week, if you was here, we looked at chapter 12 and we noticed that there were three wonders in chapter 12 that were mentioned that John saw. There was the wonder of a woman, of a dragon, and also of a man child, a child that was born. But also last Sunday morning we noticed that there was war in heaven. And we saw where the devil and his angels would fight against Michael and his angels. And we see where Satan would lose that battle. And he would be expelled from heaven, no longer to come before God and accuse the brethren, the saints of this world. We saw that those in heaven overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the testimony of their word, and also they love not their lives unto death. So many will not worship him, but they will go to their death trusting in God. Now we saw that in heaven there will be a celebration when the devil is cast out of heaven, but there will be woes upon the earth because the devil knows his time is short. When that war is lost in heaven with Michael and his angels, the devil will know that, hey, time is running out. And we left off in verse 17 of chapter 12, if you remember last Sunday morning, where it said, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So the devil, he is angry. He is wrathful. He has wrath against the children of God, the saints of God, and the Jewish remnant that remains during the tribulation period. So now he is cast down to earth with all his demonic forces for the sole intent to hunt down, to hurt, and to destroy and harass the nation of Israel. Now we jump into chapter 13, and we're going to meet two different beasts that John sees in chapter 13. Now, one we see will be the beast from the sea, and this is none other than the man, the Antichrist. And then we will see another in the latter part of chapter 13, and it will be the beast that rises up out of the earth, and that will be none other than the false prophet that helps the Antichrist try to take control of this world during that short time. Let me just pause for a moment and let you understand that the rapture is going to happen. Somewhere, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe somewhere, I know in our future, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise from their graves. We which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together. Those that know Christ and are ready, they're going to leave this world. When that event takes place, there will be a 7-year tribulation period in which God will judge the nation of Israel. They rejected the Savior. They rejected Christ. They said, "Crucify him. Let his blood be upon our children and our children." And they are going to suffer from that choice. So that 7-year period of the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, there are going to not only be the judgments of God that he's going to cast down upon this world, but there is going to be a man. There is going to be a man called the Antichrist, and he is going to rise up and he is going to take control of this world. That is what chapter 13, verses 1 through 10 is all about. It is going to happen. I personally believe that that man could also be being prepared right now for that situation and that position that he's going to be given. So you will have an Antichrist. Everything that Christ is, this man will be against. And he also will have a false prophet. He will have his prophet that will speak and do miracles and convince the people to worship this individual man. Now, you say, "Brother Terry, why do we want to even study chapter 13 of the book of the Revelation about the Antichrist and the false prophet?" Well, for two reasons. To make you aware of the events that are about to happen into this world, if you're lost, you need to know what you're heading for. But also, I believe that we need to make ourselves understand that the world right now is ready for this situation to happen. I don't know if I've ever felt in my spirit or ever seen a world that is ready for somebody to stand up and take control of the world that we live in. So everything is being prepared. The plan according to God is being played out, and we get to read about it and be introduced to two of the characters that will stand out during that 7-year period. Now, let's just jump right in it. I want you to notice the description of this beast. Now, there again, understand, John is on an island. He's in prison because of his testimony for Christ. He's been in prison on the Isle of Patmos. The angel delivers these visions and this message to him. He is seeing things that's going to be happening in our time. So John lived over 2,000 years ago. So some of the things that he records here that he's seeing, to be honest with you, they're difficult to interpret by our own thinking and our own logic. So you must go to the Word of God to see what type of symbolism is here and what type of reality he's actually seeing. So I want to give you two thoughts when we jump into these beasts. The first beast, the beast out of the sea, is both man and kingdom. And I'll share that with you. Notice his appearing in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blaspheming. Notice his appearing, the Antichrist appearing. He comes up, he rises up. It's almost like he just comes on the scene. He wasn't there, and then all of a sudden he is there. Now notice it says he rises up out of the sea. A lot of times in the Bible, you can go to Psalms chapter 2, you can see where the Bible expresses in symbolism that the sea sometime represents mankind. The sea is restless. The sea is always moving, is it not? Go to Myrtle Beach, go down to Florida, and one of the neat things is watching the waves roll in. It's almost like it's always moving somewhere. It's restless. Well, there is going to be a sea of people, a populace upon this earth during the tribulation period, and they're going to be restless. They're going to be moving about. Something they can feel that something is fixing to happen. It is out of this sea of people that the Bible tells us that he will appear. Now, there again, this Antichrist, we're going to learn later, he gets his power from the dragon. It amazes me that the appearance that is described in verse 1 of chapter 13, if you'll just go back in chapter 12 and look at verses 3, how similar they are. Notice the similarity there in chapter 13, verse 1, where it describes him as coming up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. And then you go to chapter 12 and you look at verse 3 and it's describing the dragon, which we know is Satan the devil. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. You see the similarity there? You see, this Antichrist will be so similar to Satan. There is a little difference there. I don't know if you caught it. If you did, it showed me that when you read your Bible, you're really looking for something, because there's a little difference between verse 3 of chapter 12 and chapter 13, verse 1. They both have the 7 heads, we see. They have the 10 horns, but in verse 3 of chapter 12, you'll notice where those crowns are. They're upon the heads in verse 3. Of this Satan. But then you go to chapter 13 and you look at verse 1 and we see that the crowns are upon the horns. Now I'll explain that momentarily. But we see his appearing. He rises up, this man, the Antichrist. He's on the scene. He has these 7 heads. I shared with y'all, I have weird dreams. I had even a weird one last night. Did you know? Oh, this is off stuff. That if your car is going down a river and an old preacher has drove you into the river, that you can open your door and use it as a paddle to get back on shore. Now, don't try that, but it helped last night. But can you imagine? John undoubtedly eats what I eat, because this dream, he sees this beast, this man, this kingdom rising up with these 7 heads, 10 horns, and has crowns upon those heads and horns. Now, it gets kind of complicated here. What are the 7 heads? 7 is completion. We know that 7, sometimes horns in the Bible or heads in the Bible, can speak of governments, can even speak of kings. I personally believe that it's speaking of 7 kingdoms right here. There are 7 kingdoms that has basically afflicted and controlled the nation of Israel when you study it out. Egypt, Pharaoh, we know about that. The Assyrians that hauled some of them off into captivity during Daniel's day. We know the Babylonian Empire. We know that they overseen the nation of Israel. We know that the Babylonian Empire was upset by the Medes and the Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire. We know that it was conquered by the Greek Empire. We know that the Greek Empire was conquered by the Roman Empire. So we got at least, what, six empires that have already come. But this Antichrist, he is going to represent that seventh empire or that seventh kingdom during the tribulation period. He is going to oversee it and control it. So we have this beast coming out of the sea, people, has seven heads, and it has 10 horns upon those heads. Now, horns here can represent kings or men. Go back to Daniel chapter 24 in your Bible. Turn with me. I told you that you can interpret the Bible by the Bible. When you can't understand something in the Bible, if you'll just keep looking in the Bible, you will find it eventually. Daniel chapter 7, and look at verse, I believe, 24 it is. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. Daniel had this same dream of these beasts. He saw four of them. And the last one he describes being the Roman Empire. And then he gets into this little horn. I won't go into all that, but notice what verse 24 of chapter 7 of the book of Daniel says. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. So we know the horns are kings. They're men that will rise up. We know that the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, I'm jumping so far ahead in the book of Revelation, that he will overthrow three kingdoms and set himself up above them. Now, there again, he is seeing. What John is seeing is a man and also a kingdom that is rising up. But notice, go back to Revelation now, chapter 13. We know how he's going to appear. We know he's going to have the crowns. Those 10 crowns represent 10 kings or authority or power. Some believe it will be the European nation that lend their power to the Antichrist during the tribulation period. And we see also that he's going to have blasphemy. In other words, he's not going to have anything good to say about God or God's people. Now notice verse 2. Notice not only his appearing, but notice his appearance, how he also describes him. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. You go to Daniel chapter 7, and you read verses 4 through 6, and you will see Daniel has a vision of three beasts, and they're described just like this. So what Daniel saw and what John is seeing here are three kingdoms. He mentions the leopard, that is the Greek Empire, the swiftness. Alexander the Great conquered the world quicker than any man ever did. So that's what the leopard represents here. And then he speaks about the bear and his feet, the ferocity of the Mede and the Persian Empire, who just came in and overcame Babylon. And then he speaks of the lion, the mouth of the lion, the ferociousness. In other words, he speaks of the Babylonian Empire. So he's speaking about kingdoms here. The kingdom that the Antichrist will set up during the tribulation period will be similar to these, but a combination of all of them. It will have swiftness. It will have ferocity. It will just be unstoppable. That will be the Antichrist and his kingdom and his movement during the tribulation period. And then we see in verse 2 his authority. Where does this Antichrist, where does this man get his authority from? It says, and the dragon. Well, we already know who the dragon is in chapter 12. He's been identified as that old serpent, the devil, Satan himself. The dragon, Satan himself, notice what he gives him. Power and his seat, or that's his throne, and his authority. He receives his position
and power from Satan. He is an imitator of what Christ received from his Father. Just as we know as God the Father gave Christ his glory and his position and his power, the Antichrist gets that from Satan. So he gives him his seat and his throne. He will be Satan incarnated. He will be a man that is totally yielded to the control of the devil. Wow, when you think about that. Satan will give him his power. You see, Satan right now has limited power. The Holy Spirit in this world, and you take time, I wrote down this verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. You go and you read that Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica about the end times. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that is holding back Satan right now. Satan has limited power right now. But there's coming a time when the Holy Spirit is going to be moved from this world, and Satan will have unhindered power. That's the power that is mentioned here, dunamis, dynamite power, unhindered power. So this man is going to be given unhindered power from Satan himself to set up his kingdom and take control of this world during that 7-year period. Folks, it's coming. That man could be already on the scene right now, and all he is waiting for is the Holy Spirit and God's church, the bride, to be raptured out of here, and then it's going to take place. And then notice his activity, what happens in verse 3 and 4. When he takes control, when this man steps up to control the world, he says, "And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" He will be the object of wonder and worship, this man. He will be the imitator of Christ. The world will look at him and they will wonder at him. He's going to have a wound on one of these 7 heads that is wounded to death. Now this gets really touchy here. If we're speaking about kingdoms, these 7 heads representing 7 kingdoms, then one of the kingdoms will look like it has been destroyed, but it will be resurrected back up. Folks, the last kingdom was the Roman Empire. It was never overthrown. It collapsed from within. But there are fragments of the Roman Empire still in existence unto this day. Many believe that during the tribulation period, that same Roman Empire mentality will be resurrected. It looked like it was wounded and destroyed, but it will come back. Others believe that this man, the Antichrist, will have a wound to his head as if dead, and he will come back to life. And all the world will wonder at that. You know, it amazes me that the world rejects the resurrection of Christ. They reject that he died on the cross, was put in a tomb 3 days, 3 nights later. He resurrected, rose from the dead. They think that is foolishness. But yet, during the tribulation period, if this man be wounded in the head as dead and comes back to life, they're all going to wonder at that. They're all going to worship him. Doesn't it tell you the sad state of the world that we're in right now? He will be an object of worship. People failed to worship the very Son of God. But they will worship the man of Satan here. That tells you the trend that this world is headed to. They will worship him. They are looking, the world is looking for a man to worship right now. The Jews are looking for their Messiah to step on the scene and take control of their nation. Iran is looking for their prophet, their Messiah to come back. all through the history of mankind. Mankind will worship something or someone, and during the tribulation period, the Bible tells me that they're going to worship this man. People worshiped Hitler, Stalin, Mao of China, Hoxha of Albania, Saddam of Iraq. It amazes me. Castro of Cuba. People want to worship a man that has power and authority. A man that seems like he is from God. And this Antichrist, he will fill the bill of all those things. And the Bible says that they will wonder at him and they will worship him. Notice his determination in verses 5 and 6. And there was given unto him. Notice, it's always something is given unto the Antichrist. His power, his seed, his authority is given by Satan. It says, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. This man will have words of wisdom. He will speak like no other. Great things? I had to put a question mark by that. What are the great things that he's going to speak during the tribulation period? Maybe promises. Maybe he's going to stand behind a pulpit or a platform and say, I promise. I promise no more taxes. I promise you can keep your doctors. I promise I'm going to build a wall. You see where I'm going at? Don't it seem like the great leaders of our day, they have something all in common. They stand up and promise great things, don't they? So he's going to promise great things, but not only that will his mouth speak, but blasphemy. He's going to speak against God. You see, he will blaspheme God, his sanctuary, his temple, and those that are in heaven. He hates God. Satan hates God. This individual that will be indwelled with the power of Satan, he hates God. He hates the house of God. He hates the people of God. And all he will be able to do is just say nasty things. Blaspheme. Cut them down. Don't say anything good about them. And then you get down to verse 6, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed him against God. To blaspheme his name. He can't stand the name of God. And his tabernacle, the house of God, and they that dwell in heaven. You see, he will want to defy the God of heaven. They will be people that cheer this man on when he stands up to defy God and blaspheme his name. They are people today, right now. They will cheer anybody on that speaks against God, that speaks against his house and against his people. But not only does he stand to deny the God of heaven, but notice in verse 7, he also wants to destroy the saints of God. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. He tried to make war with the angels in heaven. He lost that battle. He picked a fight that he could not win there. Now he's cast to the earth, Satan. Now he indwells and empowers this man. And now he's going to pick on the saints of God. It says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He wants to destroy now the saints of God. Who are the saints of God here? Well, it could be those two witnesses that we looked at that was preaching for God that the world hated, that eventually was overcome by that beast out of that bottomless pit. It could be the remnant of the Jewish nation that didn't make it to that safety place. It could be the 144,000 that he's after. Or it could be those, if you believe, those that were saved during the tribulation period that put their faith in God. Or it could be those that were saved before the tribulation period and didn't catch that rapture ride out of this world. Whoever they be, he wants to destroy. He's given permission to destroy them. But not only them, notice, he wants to dominate also the world. And power in verse 7 was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. This Antichrist wants to rule the world. That's been Satan's goal since day one. He wants to be boss. Now the man that he's empowered, he wants to be boss. Kind of like Alexander the Great, when he conquered the world, he cried because there were no more worlds to be conquered or no more nations to be conquered. This man won't cry. He will go about it. He will do everything to control all areas of life. Did you notice all kindred, tongues, and nations? If the USA exists during the tribulation period, you just as well throw them in there as the nations also. This man will try to control all areas of life. Finances, families, food, the fighting, the wars, the worship, the religion. He is going to want to control everything about everything that goes on in this world. You see, he wants to control all mankind. But he doesn't stop there. Notice in verse 8. He tries to delude all those that are left behind. He said, and all that dwell upon the earth. I underlined and I highlighted that word all in my Bible here. You need to read this with me. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now I'm glad that there's a comma there and then there's another little phrase. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those who are not saved during the tribulation period, the Bible says all of them are going to worship this Antichrist and this dragon that supplies his power. Everybody, here's the most powerful question can ever be asked you. Is your name written in the Lamb Book of Life? You say, how in the world do I get my name written there? You get it written there by the blood of Christ. A simple salvation experience through grace and faith. If your name is not written in that book and you are in the tribulation period, you're lost. And you will worship this individual. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that this individual and God himself will send delusions upon the world during that time, that people will believe the lie. So I'm going to caution you here. If you are lost right now and you have shunned the invitation of being saved, you've rejected Christ's call for salvation in your heart, and the rapture happens here today, you're going to go into that period lost. Your name is not written in the Lamb Book of Life. And you are going to be deluded to believe the lie of this Antichrist. He is going to fool you into believing what he's preaching. That's why I tell people to be saved right now. Today's the day of salvation. Why risk going into this place? So we see that he will use religion, education, and the law and the force to cause people to worship him. You see, this is the Antichrist. It says, if any man have ear, let him hear. It's a pretty important message when it says that. In other words, God's saying, you better pay attention to what's just been spoken there. You better make sure you understand that your name needs to be in the Lamb Book of Life. He needs to be one day when you stand before God and that book's open. You need to hear your name. You don't need to find yourself worshiping this man and his leader, Satan. Notice in verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patient and the faith of the saints. And verse 10 gives me a little hope because he's saying, listen, Antichrist may look like he's in control, but his day is coming. His day is coming according to the Bible. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 tells us where he will spend his eternity, in a lake of fire forever and ever. You see, it comes down to this. Are you saved this morning? Make sure it's more than you just come to a church or sit in a pew or been baptized or said a prayer or something. Are you saved by faith? Were you convicted of your sin? And in that guilt and shame, you called out to Christ and said, "Forgive me and save me." Accepting what he did on the cross for you. That's salvation. If you don't have that, then you're lost. And your name is not written in the Lamb Book of Life. And if the rapture happened right now, you're going to go into that tribulation period. And the Bible says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." You see, the world is ready for this beast. He's going to rise up out of the people. A restless majority of the world's populace, this man's going to take control of everything. And he will be amazing. People will wonder at him, will worship him, because he's backed by Satan himself. Folks, you don't want to be in this. I don't want to go into that tribulation period. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm part of the bride of Christ. I'm glad that one day that trumpet is going to sound and I'm going to be out of here. You see, when this plays out down here, I want to be up there in safety, looking down saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. The people should have listened. They should have made that decision when they had their chance." You see, this is just the first beast. Both man and a kingdom. The Lord willing, next Sunday we'll see a second beast. A false prophet that is just as bad as this guy. A false preacher. A false pastor that comes on the world and deceives the world by the miracles he performs. You don't think this world is being set up right now? It is being played out. We are being ready for what is fixing to happen. Chapter 13. Bow your heads just for a moment.